Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the chapel, and it's Community Service Sunday. This is where we want to say hi to anybody who's worshiping with us online. So we have a brief worship service. If you're here for the first time, the first Sunday of every month, we gather for worship. It's brief, and then we have a lunch. So regardless of whether you can stay and do work, we want you to eat lunch with us, and we're having my world-famous chicken enchiladas. So that's today. And we're going to be helping out the Friendship Home, and we'll have a video at the end of it. It's basically a place in town that helps people who are fleeing from domestic violence. So we're going to be doing some yard work. Couple announcements. Worship team help. If you want to help with the worship team, see Avery. We need music help, singing, everything. So please help out. If you'd like to prayer walk, I do this a lot. Just meet up with you somewhere on campus and just get to know you. 20, 30 minutes between classes. And I just get to know you, and then I pray for you. So please put my phone number in your phone and text me, okay? We have a group of disciplers, and so basically this team, and that's an older picture because of COVID, we haven't been able to bring people together, but we want to invest in you one-on-one and help you grow in getting in God's word and prayer. So if you'd like a mentor, a spiritual mentor, come and see me. Conversation partners, mine is from... where is mine from? I can't remember. I'm a little bit tired today. I had a glass of wine, went to bed, and I didn't sleep all night long. So I'm like really a little bit off. But anyway, you get connected to a person from around the world, and you meet with them once a week, and you talk. And so it's conversation partners. And if you'd like to know more about it, see me. Bible huddles are this Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And if you want to know what's it about, here's information right here on the piano. And you can come and get that. And at the top of it is a podcast. Listen to the podcast this week, and then meet here at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. All right, let's get ourselves ready for worship. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we'd bless us in this time of worship as we glorify you in our singing and the receiving of your word. Help us to be fully alive and attentive because you want to work in us. So bless us, Lord, as we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested in my life began. just rejoiced as though heaven had lost. Then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over.
New Testament church, we know this, the New Testament church early on would have memorized these short sections of the Bible, and they were their creeds. There were these things that they all agreed on as the full fundamental core parts of their faith. Now, we have the Apostles' Creed, we have the Nicene Creed, we have other creeds, but the Bible is full of creeds. So let's say it together. This one is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen. We've spent the last 2 weeks looking at Jesus' first sermon, and so this is the end of that series on Jesus' first teaching. Next Sunday, I'm starting a new series on the book of Song of Solomon. It's an Old Testament book where a guy, Solomon, and this shepherdess, they fall in love. And so we're going to spend 5 weeks looking at romance, woohoo, and looking at God's design for attraction and that kind of thing. And so that's what we're going to start next week. But let me set up the teaching for today this way. Imagine, you know, you're Peter and you're down and you're a fisherman and you have a great day on the lake. You have a lot of fish. And so then you're taking them back up to your little village and all of a sudden you turn the corner and there's Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector. And you're like, oh no, why did I have to take this street? So now you know he's seen you and you know you have to pay tax on the fish that you just caught. So there's a Roman soldier there, and if you don't pay tax, he's there to break your knees, right? That's what they do. So Zacchaeus says, all right, given what you got, you owe me this much. And you say, I don't have that much money. And then, okay, well, then give me your fish. And you're like, well, my village needs these fish. They're hungry. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus reaches over his booth, and he just whacks you upside the head, just slaps you to the ground. What do you do? Everybody saw it. What do you do? You're a follower of Jesus. You know Jesus. What do you do at that moment? What do you do? What are your options? Or imagine It's the Sabbath. You're down at a park with your family. This is what you do on the Sabbath. You're having a picnic with your family. And your eyes go across the field, and they see a Roman soldier. And it's like, oh, no, look this way, because whenever the Romans are around, it's always trouble. The guy comes towards your family, and like, oh, come on, just leave us alone. And he throws down his stuff, and he says, hey, you, Jew, pick up my stuff, go up that hill, and carry it up that hill. And everybody sees it. What do you do? What do you do at that moment when you're demanded to do something like that? What do you do? You're a follower of Jesus. How do you react? So Jesus says this, okay? It's in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Wow. I can only imagine hearing those words out of Jesus' mouth for the first time. It's like, this is a crazy way to live. Oh my goodness, what do you call this? What do you call this kind of life? You know? It's not revenge. It's not retaliation. It's not being passive either. It's not passive. It's like, oh, well, I got to do it. I'm going to be grudging about it. I'm going to moan about it, complain about it. It's not that. He says, like, you know, when you respond to evil, don't doing it nothing or grudgingly. And it's here. I want to say this at least a couple times. When evil is afflicted, when bad people do bad things and they're abusive, Jesus is not saying that we just go along and let ourselves be abused. It's not in the best interest of the person who is inflicting the abuse to get away with abuse. And so we're not a doormat. Jesus is not saying that, okay? Especially on this day when we're working at a place called the Friendship Home that helps women and children primarily flee domestic violence. It's not being a doormat. It's not allowing bad people to get away with bad behavior because it's not in their best interest to be abusive. So I just want to be really clear on that. But what do you call this mindset that Jesus is talking about? And he explains it in the next verse. Look at Matthew 5, verses 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, he is quoting Leviticus 19, but you'll never find in the Bible any section that says, hate your enemy. That was added. Somebody added that along the way, but it's not in the Bible ever. And so the big debate, like the real big debate, is who's my neighbor? Jesus tells a parable about this in, the parable of the prodigal son over this one thing, who's my neighbor? And so the huge debate was for the Jewish person, and they looked at Leviticus 19, this Old Testament book. And some people came down with, my neighbor is only other Jewish people. If you're not Jewish, you're not my neighbor, I don't have to love you. There are mentions in the last part of that chapter that if you're a foreigner living in this land, like if you're peacefully living among us, but you're not Jewish, okay, I got to love you too. But anybody else, they're on their own, right? Jesus is expanding this border. He's saying like, no, you love the people who hate you. And you don't like them very much either, but you still love them. What Jesus is saying is that there's this love without boundaries. Now, when I think about this day, it's not hard for us to point at enemies, you know? Coming off of a couple weeks of protests outside of a fraternity, there's definitely an enemy in our hearts towards people who have inflicted harm on others, especially when it comes to sexual abuse. For sure. Enemies include things like bombs going off at airports and destroying perfectly innocent lives. For sure. We have no trouble kind of identifying enemies in our life, people who have hurt you, and they like doing it, you know, that kind of a thing. But when I think about it, too, in most of my life, I don't have too many people. In fact, right now, I can't think of a person who I really hate. But what Jesus is saying here is that, you know what, we all have people in our life that are easy to love, and we love them. And then there are people on this end who we just absolutely cannot stand and we hate. And Jesus is saying is love everybody in between. Because I think most of us in this room would probably fall into this category. You have people in your life, you don't really hate them, but you don't love them. You don't like hate them, but you don't really love them. And Jesus is saying, it's got to go the whole way, and everything in between. And the word he uses is agape, the word of unconditional love, love without boundaries, love without boundaries. And that's what he says. And where does this kind of love come from? Where does it come from? He says this, verse 45. This is just magnificent. That you may be children of God, your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So where is Jesus picking up? Like, how do you and I even begin to sort of like grab onto what it looks like to genuinely love somebody we don't even like? In fact, we have just hard feelings towards. Two things, I think, that generate this in Jesus' mind. The weather and Scripture. The weather and Scripture. So at some point, Jesus is, you know, looking around, and he goes down a field, and he sees this lush orchard full of cherry trees, and he's like, you know, you cannot say that farmer is actually a friend of God because he's got great crops. And then you go a couple fields further down, and the beans are just burnt up. And you can't say, well, that guy's far from God because he's got really bad crops. What Jesus is noticing is this about the heart of God. Both the righteous farmer, the good farmer, the one who pays his people well, and then the really awful farmer, they get the same rain. God shows generosity and kindness on people who are stinkers and people who are nice. And Jesus says, this is at the very heart of God. God is an agape God. God reveals himself through his generosity. Now, there will come a time when God will put all things right, and he will punish wickedness. But when it comes to the way you and I treat each other, Jesus is saying this. We treat each other the way God treats us. And God is an incredibly generous God in all of our lives. Think about all of the times that you and I could easily get blown up. How many times are we deserving of that field of just burned up beans, you know, burned up beans. And yet God chooses in all of our lives. It's a conscious choice. Rain after rain after rain, love after love after love in our lives. Isn't that just something that's where we have to land? Because when we land on that element of Jesus, realizing that loving Bill Steinbauer, loving, and you put your name in the place, loving you, it's not easy to love us. And I don't think that, I think that Jesus chooses to love me because he went to the cross and he died for me, he gave his life for me, he rose for me, he forgives me of my sin. But I think that there's plenty of times when Jesus loves me, but he doesn't like me. He's not happy with me. He's not warm, fuzzy feelings about me. And that's the true of all of us. And that's a heart of our God for us. So the first one is weather. In God's incredible generosity for others. The other one is Scripture, like Psalm 45. Jesus would have known this verse. Listen to this incredible verse. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. Here's what we got to know. When it comes to this word agape, it's an action. It's not a feeling. It's an action. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. I am going to work on the benefit of this person, and I don't want to do it anyway. That's rain. That's God showing rain on somebody who's just an awful person. He is choosing to send rain when that person doesn't deserve it. So agape is action. It's God's choice to perform kindness and generosity regardless of his affections or the other person's affections. And none of that is easy for God and easy for us either. So Jesus says in this text, this agape love is regardless, and it's also not selective. You know, he says, like, tax collectors can show love on the people that they like. If you bribe a tax collector, he could probably show love on you. Everybody does that. We all have the human capacity to do that, but it's not selective. So here it is. Let's just kind of go down this road together, okay? You're driving. Maybe you're not the best driver. Somebody cuts you off, yells at you, and gives you the finger. Okay, that's happening. Okay, that is happening. And if you're like me, there is a rush of anger. There's a rush of, like, if I could get away with doing harm to this person somehow, in this very moment, I would do it. I would do it. So, okay, we weather that storm. We weather it, okay? It hits us, and we weather it. And then we find a place that Jesus has planted inside us because of his love for us, because we know the cross, and we know that we're not likable, and we know that we're not easy to love, and yet he chooses to do it anyway. And we go to a place of compassion. We try to find it somewhere in our heart. And here's a place that I go to when people do this to me. I look at that person's behavior and I say, man, for a person to be that angry over something like this, which doesn't seem to fit right, there's got to be a lot going wrong in that guy's life for him to flip me off. There's got to be a lot going on for him to be that angry, that intense. And if he's that angry and intense to a perfect stranger like me, imagine what this guy is like at home with his children and his wife and his people around him. There's a lot going in that guy's life that's really messed up. And in that moment, I'm like, Lord, care for him. Care for him. Work in his life. And then we move on in life, right? We move on in life. So the point is that agape love is a decision. It's a choice. It's a mindset. It's an action that isn't instinctive or intuitive to our human natures. And so Zacchaeus leans over that tax collector and he whacks you on the face. Maybe it sounds like this. I'm just making this up. Zacchaeus, you seem to be under a lot of pressure. And I don't know, maybe whacking me on the face blew off some steam. Do you need to blow off more steam and just, I mean, I'm here. I'm willing to take another whack, turning the other cheek. I don't know. What does that look like? You know? The Roman soldier throws his stuff down and says, take it up the hill. And Jesus plants this place in you that's a choice. It's not being passive. It's not being weak. It's incredible strength. And you look at this Roman soldier, and maybe that place is like, man, I'm sorry. You look so tired, soldier. Would you give me the honor to not only take your shield and your baggage up that hill, but I'll carry it all the way to your front door? Would you give me the honor to do that? Would you give me the honor to do that? I'll do that for you. That's not passive. That's not weak. That's a choice. But these are the actions of agape. This is what Jesus has done to all of us. He's looked past our sin and our rebellion, and he went to the cross regardless, for you and for me. And so I think the practice is, okay, Lord Jesus, help me to learn to weather the storm. Weather that storm. And help me, Lord, to connect to the gospel, okay? And I connect to what Jesus has done to me. And then, Lord, make that next step a step of dignity, a step of dignity in the lives of other people. And be mindful of this, too. You don't have to create warm fuzzies. I'm going to say this for the last time, and then I'm done. You don't have to create warm fuzzies. You don't even have to like the other person. But you do find a place in your heart where you want Jesus to occupy the place of evil that they just inflicted on you. That's true. You want Jesus to occupy that place. And however God does it, he does it. But that's your prayer. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Okay. Let's close in prayer. All right, Lord, we've heard your word. Help us to receive it. And now, Lord Jesus, we don't want to just be silly. We want to put this into practice. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to do that. To live this out. In your name, amen. Okay, here's what we're going to do. It's going to be really quick because we're on a time crunch. But we have these setting aside cards. It's our way of doing an offering. And it's more than just our tithe. Our tithe is also part of it. But you can fill out your email and your phone number if you want. What I do with these on Monday mornings, I pray over you. And we will send you a weekly email telling you what the chapel's up to. So that's here. So you break that off, and you put it in here. And then on these other two, you write it out on both on the same side. You don't have to put your name on any of this. You break one of these off, and you put this one in the offering plate as well. So these two go in there. And here's what I want you to think about. Here's a slide. This is our setting aside. Who is one person in your life who could use agape love this week? All right? What are you going to do? All right? Some person that could use this crazy, counterintuitive, world is upside down kind of love. Ready? Go. Just take a few minutes. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Write it out, and then bring it. When you're done, you just bring it up and put it on the offering plate. We're going to close off our time praying, and I want to pray especially for the Friendship Home. But there's a two-minute video I want you to see. It's basically the director of the Friendship Home telling you about what they're all about so that you get an idea of what this organization does, okay? So we'll watch the video, and then we'll pray.
Hello, I am Nicole Palmer, the Community Outreach Coordinator for Friendship Home of Lincoln. Thank you so much for having us out today to be able to share a little bit of information with you about Friendship Home of Lincoln and the services that we offer in Lancaster County. First, I do want to share that Friendship Home is Lincoln and Lancaster County's only emergency confidential domestic violence shelter. We serve, on average, 138 individuals per day with an average waiting list of 38. That 38, we are able to serve with crisis services and safety planning. In 2020, we served nearly 1,500 individuals seeking shelter or crisis services from domestic violence in their household. We are set up to serve any individual that is a victim of intimate partner violence. And we do have three forms of shelter at Friendship Home. We have a communal shelter, which offers 8 bedrooms that allows our families to share a bedroom together. And then they share a kitchen and living room with other families that we are serving. We also offer single family apartments, which are spread throughout the city, which has been a very wonderful option for us during the pandemic. The apartments were new to us about 6 years ago, but we are finding that we are so grateful for that option that we have now, especially when so much was new with COVID-19 and we were worrying about housing people in a communal shelter together. The single family apartments were a great option. And our third option is transitional housing. So our typical stay in shelter is about 6 to 8 weeks. But with transitional housing, we are able to house families and help them rebuild their lives anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. Many of those that come to Friendship Home come with no more than the clothing that are on their backs. And so when we have people reach out to us to do a drive, an outside fundraiser, or an event that we typically haven't done during the year. Hygiene items, paper towels, cleaning products, new bedding, all of those items that we all use every day in our own household is so greatly appreciated from the victims that we serve. We're able to put them in both the communal shelter, and we're able to put those items also in our single family apartments as well. And then volunteer opportunities at Friendship Home. Things are changing a little bit with COVID-19, but typical volunteer activities would include a youth mentoring program that we offer, yard work. So if you have a green thumb, coming out and just helping us with some of our properties, like our communal shelter or our service center, just raking, a lot of things that can be done outside. Every once in a while, we have some painting projects, again, depending on what's going on with the pandemic in some of our buildings. Organizing. So if you're a person that loves to organize, we have donations that come in, and we like to sort those and then even organize them into tubs so that when we have a new family moving into shelter, we can get everything out to apartments and have everything that they need in that apartment waiting for them. And then also, many people are familiar with our Safe Quarters Project or our Stuff the Bus Project, but coming up is our Safe Quarters Project. which we love to share more information about with the community. Typically, we go door to door, but this year we have our teams doing crowdfunding pages just to keep everybody safe. It's an easy and fun way to get involved. To learn more about that, you can certainly go to friendshiphome.org, and under our events tab, we have more information on how to get involved, and it's super easy and it can be super fun and rewarding with a team. Again, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit more about what we do. Really, shelter and the services that we offer are life-saving for the individuals that come in to Friendship Home. We want to thank you for learning more, for wanting to have more information, awareness about domestic violence, and thank you for helping us save the lives of those that we serve.
All right, gracious Lord, we pray for the staff who are extending kindness and listening to really difficult stories day in and day out. Give them a generous heart. Help them to be gracious and merciful. Help them to be great listeners. We know that working with people in incredibly difficult circumstances can cause fatigue on staff. And so we pray for your strength on them. Give them the ability to love these people and do it well. Lord, we pray for the families in these shelters. Lord, we pray for safety. We pray for the bond of family love. Lord, we pray that you would work out safety and solutions in the midst of that. We pray for work, employment. We pray for these children to do well in school. Lord, we know that there's so much that is in need of caring for them, and we pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them and hold them together. And finally, Lord, we pray for the perpetrators. We pray for those who inflict harm. Lord, bring these people to repentance. Knock them down in some way where they look at their life differently. Lord, we know that what they need is you. They need to know that you are their Savior, that you are their Lord, and that their life comes under your authority, and under your authority is goodness and kindness. And so, Lord, we just pray for them. We pray that you would thwart their evil intentions, bring them to repentance and trust in you. Gracious Lord, we pray these things, and we all have numerous things that we just need. We need you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you listen and you care, and yet you are a God of hope and promises. We pray this in your mighty name, as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Before we have our blessing in the last song, I just want to say thank you guys for coming. If you can stay for work, that's great. If not, we still want you to stay for lunch. We would love for you to eat with us. If you are going to lunch, we're going to have to have you sign a confidentiality agreement that you won't disclose the location of this place, as well as a thing that if you chop your finger off, you won't sue them. So we'll have two forms for you to sign. And then we're going to be trimming a tree. We're going to be doing a lot of weed pulling and just sprucing up this one location. So if you can stay, we'll eat quickly. We'll try to be at the location by noon, and we'll be done by 2. So we'll be back on campus by 2. All right. So let's close with the blessing. And the blessing I've chosen for today is Romans 12:21, and you'll see why. Let's stand. These are great words as we go out and kind of think about this Sunday. Let's say it together. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. There we go. Let's sing.
Blessed be your name in the land. streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name.
Peace and serve the Lord.